Bill, you get your bonus yet?
Good news. Happy hour starting early. It's the bonus hour.
Bonus.
Of the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson.
How did you get a bonus?
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
I cut out bonuses this year.
And it starts now.
Hey, happy Tuesday, all you beautiful radio listeners. Hope you're having a wonderful afternoon, enjoying the clear, crisp sounds of 105.1 The Fan on FM. It's the bonus hour. It's the slow launch of the happy hour with Luke Anderson. And joining me for the first hour, this will normally be Ducks Insider Hour. So we'll bring in our own Ducks Insider and the brand man, Dusty Harrow. What's happening?
Look, I'm excited, just first of all, for the happy hour with Luke Anderson starting.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I am really excited for what this show is going to become and the identity and the stamp that you're going to put on it.
Appreciate that.
There is a, and this is going to be Duck Insider Zone. This is it. The 1 to 2, starting on Monday, you'll be able to hear Duck Insider from 1 to 2, and that's going to take us all the way through the sports calendar for the University of Oregon. So it goes from late July into early June, and then this, it's going to be bonus hour territory
that's
for Luke
right.
Anderson, June and July.
Which is fantastic, because it's really the time of the year where there's not any dominant sports headlines, so we can really kind of figure out what it is. The fun part is, I've worked with Jeff Rust a handful of times, but now he's my full-time producer, and we were kind of, we're kind of thrown into this a little bit. We've got a few things to change around here. So he's still producing The Firm of Harrison Meringue. We did all the new imaging. We did all of the new. We've got a pretty good idea of where we're starting. I'm actually excited to see what the show will be in 2 months. By the time we get around to next June. So I really don't. I honestly don't know. So to have the only show that is my show, I get kind of all the creative input and see what happens. It's going to be a blast. What happens today?
Blanche.
Who knows?
You have carte blanche to take it where you want it, whether that is to the moon or into the side of a mountain. I hope it is to the moon.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Probably. But yes, we're aiming for the moon.
May hit a mountain on the way to the moon, but you're going to get there, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's go. How awesome is this?
Dude, this is fantastic. Well, driving in this morning.
We are on FM.
That's the big thing, right? Like, driving in this morning, my car's set on 1080 The Fan. So I get in and I hear the subtle sounds of Dirt and Sprague.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, oh, got to switch it over to 105.1. They are not subtle at all. It's just the signal. It is booming. A new voice guy. Cornell Womack sounds fantastic, but you switch it over to FM, it is a better sound, it is a bigger audience, it is the whole thing. So to be part of the, not only the switch over from AM to FM, but being part of the daily lineup. I mean, it's been a long time of doing Saturday shows. On Friday, we'll have Will Darkins in here. We'll do a little farewell to the Sinner and Saint in the bonus hour. But looking forward to getting started on this thing.
It's nice having it on the FM dial now, because no longer as I approach the tunnel is it, well, now here is the crux of the problem.
If you're only going to listen to one thing that I say for this entire broadcast, the next 32 seconds are going to be exactly what you need to hear.
It's gone. Yeah, this move is incredible for us. And there's a lot of people, I've gotten this question a ton, as the day has gone on, the last 24 hours since we announced yesterday at 3 o'clock that we were going to be moving over to FM, is that what does this even mean?
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing is, if you're listening on FM right now, you can flip over to the AM and you can tell the difference in the quality of the sound.
Yeah.
And the difference in the quality is night and day. It's also a wider reach. And the reality of it is that AM for 35 years, this station was all sports on AM. It's the longest running sports station on the West Coast, continuously running. It was a legacy station on the AM, whether it was 1520 or 910 or 1080. It had its different iterations. It was the same station. It just moved to a couple different places. Well, the reality of it is, now there's a lot of cars that are being made that don't even have an AM radio in it.
Yep.
You know, we had a couple of guys and gals saying, you know, I drive, you know, a Rivian or a Tesla and I don't get AM, right?
Yeah.
Well, now you can get the fan and you don't have to stream it. You can be part of the club that is totally live, no delay whatsoever. Like, unfortunately, the app does have, because you take it from radio, then you process it through the streaming service, and then boom, it takes a little bit to get there. Well, this is big for us, and there's a lot of people that, you know, as much as people want to say that, you know, radio and people are just listening on their phones, they're not.
No.
They're really not.
Well, it's part of its ease of access, right? I mean, because we have the HD2 signal, and you could find it if you had, that's another equipment thing, right? You might have AM, you might have FM, you might have one or neither, and then HD2, some people have it, some people don't. But the ease of access, just flipping it on 105.1, and one of our sales gals, Paulina, made the comment. She said, nobody surfs through the AM dial.
No, like, well, you have to make it a point to go over there.
But we'll find people on the FM dial that are just surfing through, and if we're talking about something that makes an impact. You've been keeping an eye on everything that's happening all day with comments and everything. Yep. What's the reaction from the general public today?
I think that there's a ton of excitement just because, you know, everybody get in their cars, you can just listen to the fan on FM, and that's great. But I think that the biggest one, folks love the new lineup so far. And I am a huge fan of this lineup. We are live and local for 13 hours, Monday through Friday.
It's pretty rad.
That is very rad. Then when we can go from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and be live and local, that's a game changer, because look, we're talking about what you care about. I mean, that's the thing, is that you don't have to hear about the Lakers or the Cowboys or the, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox.
Just a warning, the entire second hour of this show will be Lakers, Red Sox, and Cowboys. So just a heads up. Just, you know, be ready. But it'll be from a local perspective. So
like,
don't worry about
hatred
that.
For it.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, we get to make, we don't have to pretend we like Jerry Jones, which is important. So, yeah.
But this is the fact that we are local here, and we have now an extra hour with Dirt and Sprague. Those two guys, they earned it.
Yeah.
They earned that 6 to 10 a.m. time slot. To have the firm going 10 to 1, it makes all the sense in the world. To have Duck Insider, which, you know, we are the home of the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
And when we were previewing a basketball game, that we would air Duck Insider after that basketball game completed. That was a little bit of a problem.
You're not serving your listeners with that. Yeah.
And the fact that you get Rob Mullins, Dan Lanning, Dana Altman, players, assistant coaches, that, to be quite frank, nobody else gets on that show. It was a no-brainer to have that. And then to have put you in right before Isaac and Suk made all the sense in the world. We can ramp up back to hyper-local. And it's going to be a ton of fun. And I'm so glad that everybody is along for this ride. I think the lineup is going to crush it on the FM dial. You don't have to go anywhere else. We will still have 1080 existing for situations, too, where, and this is a part that, you know, inside radio here, when we have a Duck game that interrupts our daily lineup, that's not a problem anymore. When we have a play-by-play event that interrupts any of our local programming, they can go and they will live on 1080. And you can still hear, you know, Dirt and Sprague, The Firm, you, and Primetime, where you're trained to go every single Monday through Friday. And that's exciting to me, that we will have the ability to split off in those rare instances where those guys would get preempted, and we can play our hits, man, which is our local lineup.
Well, speaking of Radio Insider, you jumped into the deep end. Like, for me to have a show move to like the primetime lineup at the switch, that's pretty cool. You got thrown into it. What are you, 2 months into this job as a brand manager?
Yeah, I think so. I think
you
is,
don't even know.
No, it has been for me. Look, it was thrown in the deep end is the nicest term that you could say.
It's FCC cleared, so I figured that was the safest term to use.
I got hired, and look, this move. Our general manager Ryan Cooley, he stepped in to his seat as GM back in December. And he really put the full court press on it. And he'd been working on it since like October. And then, or
did I hear that there was a proposal that he was part of in 2013 to make a move like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that goes way back. You're talking 12 years.
He was working side by side with the man that I replaced, the great Jeff Austin, Sacramento Baton Rouge,
yep.
Montpellier. And right. Jeff and Cooley really started putting the wheels in motion in to make this happen. And it's not just because we had two people that care about this station so deeply. The team on air was pulling their weight as well. Sales was pulling their weight as well. And once I got put into place and Jeff said he was going to ride off into the sunset, it was, all right, man. You know, and this was part of my plan, my business plan to get this job was like, eventually I want to move the fan to FM. Well,
yeah.
I started, and like, you're it. Guess Go. What? We're going to start to get this ball rolling. And so it was, I wasn't just missing shows with Danny just to miss them. When they were saying I was doing the brand manager stuff, like it was, all right, we have to get with engineering. We have to get with market ops, which is your website and your app. And I had to design the logo and tell
you
people.
You designed the logo?
Tell people that I had.
Your
well,
art
I didn't
skills.
Draw.
Your art skills underestimate.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I was sitting there telling somebody that I've never met before who's, it is not their passion. It's their career to be a graphic designer that I didn't like some of the things that were initially thrown our way. And so I was sitting there trying to go, all right, we want to have it local. We just don't want to have like a pennant in our.
I saw the original logo, and it was basically the same logo that every sports station uses when they're like, hey, clip art, what does a logo look like? It was weak effort.
So our new logo is, it's 105.1 on top. The fan is underneath. And then back behind it is the Fremont Bridge. And
which sits right above our studios, so it's perfectly apropos.
That was one of the things I wanted in there was we literally broadcast from the shadows of the Fremont Bridge.
Yes, we do.
And it's uniquely Portland. So I thought that fit with everything that we do. So it was everything, man. There's so many details that go into this. I had to learn what nodes are.
What are nodes?
They're little triggers to tell all the computers and everything, you know, that whether we're running a spot or what's on the air, whether we're local or international programming, and all of them have different numbers. There were times where I would just be sitting on these Zoom calls with engineers, and they're talking. They're like, "Are you following?" I'd be like, "No. I am not."
Well,
you know what? We got here.
Yeah. You and I actually had a happy hour right after you took the job. And I was like, what are you thinking, bud? That was my first question was, do you know what you got yourself into? And not only are you jumping into this role as brand manager of an iconic station, congratulations.
Thank you.
The transition to FM, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're keeping your other job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your other job is, of course, sidelines for Ducks Radio Network. You're going to be down in Eugene. You're keeping up with everything that's going on. So we have you here for two reasons. One, to talk, hey, this transition is awesome. Everything that's going on, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I think the listeners will thank you for the clear sound that we have. But we still get to talk football.
We do. We can talk football. Yeah. We do need to talk voice guy, though, because that's the one thing that I've heard a lot about.
Oh, I've got some voice guy stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our voice guy, we do have a new voice of the fan.
Juilliard-trained Cornell Womack is our new voice guy. Yeah. We will talk about him next when the happy hour bonus hour continues on 105.1, The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. That's right. All week we have bonus happy hours. So it'll be 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock every day this week. Starting Monday, Joey Mack will be in this time slot with Ducks Insiders. So your best access to not only football, basketball, baseball, all Ducks sports. During the fall, it's going to be your chance to hear Rob Mullins and Dan Lanning. Assistant coaches do not get sent out elsewhere. So the only way to hear them will be on Ducks Insider from 1 to 2 every day. And then my happy hour will go 2 to 3 to get everybody ready for Isaac and Suk. Very excited about it. Dusty Harris sitting in with me. We've been talking about the flip from AM to FM, from, you know, 105 or from 1080 The Fan to 105.1 The Fan, everything that you've been doing to get that happening. But one of the things you wanted to talk about, because I don't know that we've got to acknowledge this publicly yet, but the ousting of our former voice guy.
Not ousting.
The replacement? How would you put it?
It was just a change.
What do they call it? Uncoupling?
Yeah.
Mutual uncoupling?
Vic was awesome for us. And
the great Vic Orlando.
He was our former voice guy, and he was here for several years. And, you know,
my entire tenure.
I think it was 2006, I believe, is when Vic started here. And when you have long runs like that, you make a change like this. It is common that you do make a change to your big voice, and this because
was that something somebody recommended to you?
Yeah, it's one of the things that you go, all right, you have to redo all of your imaging. All of our imaging is every time you hear the big voice, right? Every promo, liner, station ID, show open, all that stuff, and that is a large task to undertake. And so you start kind of spinning the wheels on that, and you take a look around, and it just felt like the time was right to make that, because it's a really long time to have, you know, the singular voice of the station. And I came across Cornell, who is our new voice guy, and he was just different.
How many voices did you hear before you got to that one?
Anywhere between like 30 and 50.
Okay. So
like I went
yeah, you
through.
Went deep.
Like I wasn't just going to just willy-nilly say no. But our new voice guy, his voice popped, and I started looking into him and kind of what he does, and I noticed he'd never done radio before. Like he'd never done radio imaging before. He's done, and his resume is wild.
He played. You need to share it because you and I watched some clips. It's very, very entertaining.
He is an actor. He has been in
Juilliard trained.
He did go. He went to Juilliard, and he's an actor. He's been like he was in Transformers 2. He's been in like Law and Order, Rescue Me. He's had a lot of roles and a lot of stuff where you'd be like, Oh, that guy.
You and I were watching like the crime show reel of his. So it was he's the guy at the morgue. He's the
guy who eats a sandwich at the orgue. He's a lawyer. He's the director of the FBI in Transformers 2. But he also is not just an actor. He does voiceover work. So he was the voice of Hennessy.
Nice.
The NFL Network, BET, HLN. He has done so, like, his resume, you just look at it and you're like, oh, my gosh. He did the trailer for, like, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You hear all these voices and they're nameless, faceless guys.
Yeah.
But then you go and you actually look at the resume. So the voice grabbed you.
Yep.
Then you look at the resume and go, okay, this station will now sound like no other.
And it's the range that he has is going to be fun, because one thing that I got on the phone with him, started talking with him, he was in, man, and he's excited to do something different. And he sends us different variations, puts his own twist on things. We have some opens. I know you have a lot of imaging that it's going to be entertaining, and he plays along with it, and he rolls with the punches and plays with the bits. I think people are going to love the new club open.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I've not heard it yet.
The new club open is pretty awesome.
Nice.
And but it's a big change. Like all of this is a change for listeners. I understand you. People are like, I don't like it. Look, I sit there and I'm like, Vic was synonymous with the fan for so long. Like when I interned here, Vic was the voice of the fan, and he just started. Right. A lot of this is new. You're gonna love it. It's gonna grow on you. Yeah. It's gonna be a ton of fun. But new voice guy.
Yeah, one of the fun things was doing the imaging for a brand new show. We're trying to come up with ways to brand it. It's a happy hour, so it's gonna be quick. We're gonna try to go PTI meets Sinner and Saint. That was kind of the idea of the show. It'll be quick hitting. We'll do all this. So the imaging is going to do some of the lifting for us. So my show has all these different intros that take us right into the segment, so we don't have to dilly dally and do whatever. So we sent off scripts to Cornell, and they come back, and just the amount of variation that he has in the reads, that kind of directed us on what the image it ended up being. So yeah. when you listen to it, I hope you enjoy it. But yeah, his voice definitely popped. The funny thing was, I played a couple for my wife, and I go, "Oh, have a listen," and she goes, "What about the other guy?" And I'm like, "How often do you even listen to the station?" And she goes, "Enough." And I go, "Well, you know, sometimes you got to make changes." So even casual listeners will probably notice it. But the cool thing is, when you go around the country, you would hear Vic's voice on occasion.
Absolutely.
But now it'll be the fan voice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's going to be on his resume, and then other people will pick it up. But we'll be first.
We are the first. It's easy. We're the only radio station that has him right now. I have a feeling we will not be the last radio station to have him. So there's, dude, this whole thing, it's been 2 months that I've been on the job. There's been a ton that has changed. I'm not changing things just for the sake of changing them.
Yep.
I think that what we have is pretty damn special, and I can't wait for everybody to hear kind of all the things that we do roll out and where it goes from here, because this is gonna be fun, man.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a great time with it, and I hope everybody's along for the ride. It's been a lot of work. Again, I know that everybody's thanked him before. Our GM Ryan Cooley,
absolutely.
Our sales staff, our general sales manager, you know, Sam Tung. Those guys believe in this station. Mm-hmm. They believe in what we're doing. They believe in our listeners, too, because this doesn't happen without our listeners,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Austin, who he set the table. Like, I text him, you know, you set the table. Now we got to eat. And
you were his first hire?
Yeah.
How about that?
That's pretty awesome.
Full circle.
It was a really cool just moment for me to just be like, golly. He took a flyer on a kid from a directional school, and where you drink just as much as you go to school.
Well,
and
it's probably a little more.
Yeah, he helped grow so much talent here. It's a ton of fun to be a part of that, and it's an honor. It really is. So let's get this thing rolling, man.
Yeah,
because
man.
This is going to be.
And just so everybody knows, nothing's going to change too dramatically. Obviously, all the new stuff that we have. But when football season hits, we are still all in on Home of the Ducks. Game day is going to be started off with the new Saturday show, which will be Joe and Rashad.
Yep.
They're going to take that over. They'll lead right into Ducks game day, which is going to be you, Dirt, Anthony Newman, as it has been. We'll still have Seahawks on Sundays. So weekend programming, football programming, all staying the same.
Yeah, that's the only thing that is different is the hot corner, because P. Harris is now a Monday through Friday guy. He was like, I still want to do the hot corner on Tuesdays. He did one Tuesday 3-hour show, and then that 2-hour, he's like, golly, man, that is a lot to do in one day. And so Hot Corner is retired with Patrick Harris, and he is moving on up to the bigs, and he's got a Monday through Friday show. And then with you coming into this slot here, Sinner and the Saint has rode off to the sunset.
Yep. We'll do our final ride on Friday, but we'll send him off. So yeah,
you and Darkins on the way out. He asked me to fire him today, which was a weird email to get. but
well, and you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it on Friday, but he was ready to retire, had a second child, had a little girl born at the end of May.
So he was
ready to go. He's ready to go full dad mode. So it's a little bittersweet to move on, but I think we're going to make that change anyway. So
yeah,
the timing couldn't have worked out much better for that. And then for
Joe and Rashad, move from Sunday to Saturday. Let's go.
Well, wait till their first Saturday. They wake up at 6 and come in here and realize how many Duck fans are on the road and listening and commenting back. That was one of the stranger things. The first time I got a text message going, hey, we've got a noon kickoff and we need you guys to come in a little bit early. And then we got a 9 a.m. kickoff. And it's like, what do you think about showing up? And I'm like, I don't know if anybody's going to be listening, but they were. And being the kickoff and the tailgate show for Duck Saturdays was one of my favorite things about doing the Saturday show. So it will be a blast. We're going to put you in Ducks Insider mode since we don't have Joey Mack this week. Let's talk Big Ten, and we'll do the preview. We'll do that next. But first, here is Jeffrey Rust with a SportsCenter update. Social D bringing us back. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the first ever edition of the Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan. The station really wants you guys to like me, so they have given me bribes So today through Friday, you have a chance to win tickets to an advanced screening of The Naked Gun on July 28th at the Regal Lloyd Center. So all you have to do is text in 503-864-6FAN, that's 6326, for your chance to win tickets. And then you can win. You text the word Naked. That is S-W-I-N-J. No, wait. That is N-A... K-E-D to 503-864-6326 for your chance to win. Send the word Naked, and it's a chance to win a pair of tickets to The Naked Gun on July 28th at the Regal Lloyd Center. These tickets are courtesy of Paramount Pictures, so do that now.
Now, I'm excited for Liam Neeson to be in the role of Naked Gun. I don't know how many people are, but Liam Neeson, he is so serious.
Yes, he is.
We all go to Taken, right?
Yep.
I have a very particular set of skills.
You're damn right.
We know that you do, Mr. Rust.
Yeah, yeah. But he's got comedy chops, too.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't make a mockery of the great Leslie Nielsen.
Well, see, but that was the beauty of Leslie Nielsen. I think it's funny how much their names sound alike, too. Liam Neeson, Leslie Nielsen. But you have Leslie Nielsen, who was a very serious dramatic actor, and then he got cast in Airplane.
Yep.
And that's what launched the whole Naked Gun, Frank Drebin, the hilarity that was the Naked Gun.
Yeah.
So getting a guy that is known for being serious is the only way to go. I just don't know how they do it without OJ.
Yeah, yep. Well, they got jokes.
Oh.
They got jokes.
I am confident that they do.
They got
so
jokes.
Just the parody genre is always just ready to go, and I'm here for it.
I want parody comedy to be back.
Yes.
And not be afraid that people are going to get so upset. It's comedy.
It is.
I mean, Blazing Saddles has horrific language and themes in it.
Yes, it does.
But it was meant to be a statement against people who truly believe.
Yeah.
In using those words in those themes.
Yep.
Like, that's exactly what it was.
Well, some of the best movies I remember from my childhood are the parodies. The Loaded Weapon series.
Yeah.
The Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part
Deux.
You have the Robin Hood Men in Tights, Spaceballs. All of these are fantastic. All the scary movies.
I see your shorts is as big as mine.
Yes. They're making another Spaceballs, too.
Yay.
So, yes. I hope it works out with Leslie Nielsen. I hope it's hilarious. And you know what the funny thing is, even if it is, it will be absolutely bashed by critics, and that's the way it should be. So watch it, enjoy it, win tickets with us. So we'll have that keyword throughout Happy Hour all week for you.
Let's go.
All right. I have admitted many times on this airwaves, it won't be a surprise to anybody that's heard me talk, I'm not the biggest college football fan. I'm not a Ducks fan in particular. So tell me what I need to know to get caught up. Dante Moore is playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I know. Dan Lanning jumped in a swimming pool. I do know that.
You know that.
So those are the two things that I've got.
Yeah.
What's like the 10,000 foot view on the Ducks this year?
The bar is incredibly high when you go through the Big Ten schedule and you finish 13-0 in Big Ten play. I mean, that is, and when you look at Dan Lanning,
Is that the first thing people think of when they think of last season, though? It's just, it's Ohio State,
no,
right?
It is. It's that loss and also that win against Ohio State.
That's fair.
In the way that both of those games went. But the bar when you go through the regular season, and all bets are off when it comes to the college football playoff. And I think that is a massive learning experience for this Oregon team, is that look at Lanning's career. He starts off with three losses, then goes to two, and then ends last year with one. I mean, it's like the bar keeps being raised.
Yeah.
And when you hear Lanning talk and you hear people in that program in the orbit of Oregon football, it is good. Continue to raise the bar. Don't lower expectations because last year was good. It wasn't good enough for them.
Yeah.
If that becomes exponentially harder when you go from Bo Nix to Dylan Gabriel, and Dylan Gabriel was the perfect gap year quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. Dante Moore, You want to talk about a guy who swallowed his pride, and he went to UCLA because he wanted to play immediately.
Yep.
He got, you know, whether it's a big NIL package or whatever it is. I think that that's funny when people say he ran to UCLA for the NIL, but then they accuse Oregon of having more NIL than anybody else, right?
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, as much money as there is out there, there's a lot more money waiting in the NFL, and there's more NIL money waiting if you play well. And going and having a chance to play right away is a way to bet on yourself.
Yep.
And you can take the money, you know, from any number of schools, but you're not going to play over Bo Nix coming back for a, 17th college football season or whatever it was at the time. So Dante Moore has a year sitting. It's the first time we've seen a guy wait to take the starting job in a while.
Well, and what he did was he said, all right, I know I'm not, he would have been the starter last year at UCLA,
sure,
in all likelihood. I mean, he was not horrific. Look at the team that was around him at UCLA in Chip's final year.
Well, and Chip was halfway out the door on that season.
There's a reason why Chip Kelly left too, right?
Yeah.
So Dante Moore goes to Oregon. This is why Dylan Gabriel was the perfect gap year quarterback for the Oregon program, in that Dante Moore took a redshirt and he sat and he actually took in the process of being a starting quarterback. And I think that that is like one of the things that is so lost when you look at quarterback play in college football, is that guys just want to go to somewhere where they can start and they can play right away. Well, you don't learn the tricks of the trade. There's a reason why Bo Nix went through the lumps at Auburn and ended up looking like a completely different quarterback by the time he got to Oregon. There's a reason why Dylan Gabriel was really damn good at UCF in Oklahoma, but then it's the experience and there's nothing that you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And then you learn how to prepare. You learn what different schemes and looks and what defenses perceive your weaknesses to be and how you can beat them. And that takes time. And that preparation is something that has been talked about a ton with Dante Moore and just absorbing what Dylan Gabriel went through last year and seeing that. I don't know what Dante Moore, the quarterback of Oregon, is going to look like come, what is it, August 30th when they play Montana State.
Yep.
But what I do know is that that young man looked dramatically different from the fall to the spring, whether it was the processing and getting the ball out quicker. And you could see that in the spring game, the arm slots and arm angles that he was throwing from, that Dylan Gabriel had ever, when you are a 5'11" quarterback in college football, you got to learn how to throw from every arm angle.
Yeah.
And you could see that Dante Moore was using those arm angles. There was one throw in the spring game where he kind of just leaned around a guy and sidearm flipped it, right? That's not something he had in his bag before.
Yeah.
And so how much did he take and how much is translatable? That's going to be the biggest question for this Oregon program this year, because you are only as good as your quarterback is.
Yeah.
And we saw that with Ohio State last year. Kyle McCord had a great year at Syracuse, but Will Howard was the guy who made a big difference as an organizer and a distributor of the football for Ohio State.
Well, and he was the guy that, you know, took a lot of blame for the loss at Oregon, especially the way, you know,
no doubt,
sliding too, you know, too late and blowing the chance for an opportunity to win that game. But then you see how much he matured as the season goes on. This, with the new life that you have after a loss in college football with a 12-team playoff, changes things pretty dramatically. So even if Dante Moore isn't, you know, leaps and bounds better than he was at UCLA to start the season, it's Montana State, Oklahoma State is a tough test, and it's Northwestern, who is expected to be at the bottom of the Big Ten. Oregon State, it's by the time you get to Penn State, you need him to be ready to go and this offense to be clicking. Where's the strength and the anchor for this Oregon team if Dante Moore isn't great out of the gates?
Running back room is absolutely loaded. If you look at two position groups offensively that are loaded to the gills, that running back room is about six deep. And you have true freshmen. You've got guys like Makai Hughes, who's the Tulane transfer.
If you're six deep, though, is there a workhorse in there? I mean, having six guys is like having nobody, right?
Yeah. Sometimes. Well, Noah Whittington, who came back last year, and I think the Purdue game was his welcome back in coming off a really gruesome knee injury that he suffered against Colorado in 2023. It wasn't until the Purdue game in October that it was like, He's not afraid of the contact. He trusts his leg. He is back. So you have Noah Whittington, Jaden Lamarr, who is kind of a Swiss Army knife, do-it-all guy, who's kind of been waiting his turn and going through it and has been a phenomenal back for them. Mekhi Hughes, who's the Tulane transfer, he comes in into the fold where he is coming back as one of the most highly touted running backs in the entire nation this year. Then you have freshman Jordan Davis, who comes in, D'Air Hill, who also comes in as a true freshman. Last year, you had a Division II transfer in. You want to talk about having options. You've got guys who are Swiss Army knives. You've got Thunderbacks like Jay Harris, who is a monster in the backfield. We didn't see a whole lot of him, but he is a big-bodied back. And then you also have he is a jitterbug, and I don't even want to say it, but because it's
you're
not,
gonna say
it's not like him totally because he was just different, but a small back with that first cut that has an insane burst, and he all of a sudden moves laterally faster than you can in a blink of an eye. Dink Riggs, DeJuan Riggs. Dink is a phenomenal nickname, by the way.
It's great.
He's a jitterbug of a running back, and he's going to be a redshirt freshman out of DC. I mean, that running back room has got speed. It's got receiving out of the backfield. It's got multi-purpose. And it has big body backs. They are going to be good. That offensive line is retooled and they replace a lot, but you don't have to go through a center change. You have Poncho at center. Your two tackles, you went into the portal and you got them out.
Guys with experience on the edges, that makes it a lot easier.
And Isaiah World is the size of the world.
Yeah, from Nevada, right?
Yeah, he is an enormous human being. Yeah.
And they say he has like top 10 potential, but they didn't quite always see that potential at Nevada. So how much credit do you give this Oregon team for not only finding the guys, but being able to develop them and help them go to the next level?
But Mike Kavanaugh, who is now the O-line coach at Oregon State, he was an analyst and an offensive line assistant for the last couple of years at Oregon. And Coach Cav gave nothing but rave reviews about Alik Terry and his ability to teach and connect with his players. And he said he is insane, wickedly smart offensive line coach. They have a staff that they call the law firm down there of offensive line coaches that are great developers of talent. So what they can do with them, what they did with, you know, if just think of Josh Connerly. Okay, he came in as a highly touted prospect. He leaves in 3 years as a first-round pick.
There you go.
Okay?
Yep.
Then you have also guys like Ajani Cornelius, who is a transfer from Rhode Island. And he ends up getting drafted. He is in the NFL as well, right?
There you go.
You look at what they've been able to do at the center position and developing that position through a litany of offensive line coaches. There's a culture of offensive line, and it really did start with Mario Cristobal transferred over. But their offensive line coaching is from some of the most grizzled, experienced guys in college football say, no, Alik Terry and this staff, they've got it on the O-line. But I think where the run game can really pop, that tight end room is going to be really damn good. And
you're listing all of the quarterback's best friends.
Yep.
A run game, an offensive line, and tight ends. Wide receivers, you got injuries, but that is something where, you know, in big games, you're going to need everybody. But for the first half of the season where you can go out there, if you can get a lead and you've got running backs, tight ends, and an O-line, it's going to make it a lot easier.
And you got DeCorian Moore, and that true freshman is going to be special at wide receiver. He is going to be and I hate to heap the expectations on him, but we saw it in the spring game on the very first play. Right? They said, oh, we got a new toy. We're going to use him. And you know Will Stein is going to use him.
Yeah.
They replace so much offensively, though. At wide receiver, whether it's Tez Johnson or Trayshawn Holden, you know, and now Evan Stewart, like, you have some big shoes to fill there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be by committee, but you have a pretty dang special freshman in DeCorian Moore.
All right. Well, the Big Ten has 18 teams because, of course, it does. So going through and finding how many of those teams actually have a chance to win is our task. We'll do that next. It is the bonus hour of the Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan. I don't know what part sounds the best there. 105.1 FM, the Luke Anderson Happy Hour. It all sounds great to me. It's Big Ten Media Week, so we've got Dusty Hara in here using his Ducks Insider chops to replace Ducks Insider for this week. Yeah, you got your two deeps over there. I see what you're doing. You
yeah, little, I just had to go back into my notes.
Yeah.
Got my notes.
Have you started getting into full football mode at all? All, or have you just been neck deep in the
I've been trying fan. To breathe.
Yeah,
That's what I've been trying to do here. And then I think next week I'll start.
Well, perfect. You're on this show for three days this week. So if you want to jump into it next week, that'd be great for us.
Perfect. All right, I'll start tomorrow.
Okay, there we go.
I'll start tomorrow morning.
It's like an old school when you know, Will Ferrell spat out that answer, and he's like, "Whoa, what happened?"
I just took a look at my notes, and I was like, "All right, let's go through this. Let's go through this running back room. I do like that running back room a lot."
Yeah, well, this is probably a nice reprieve for you in the middle of the day. Just let's get back to what we know. You were on air for in part for 17 years.
17
I mean, that
years.
Was what you did, producing, reading updates, doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
So learning the new job at high speed and jumping back into this, I'm sure, is fun. So let's take a look at the Big Ten as a whole. The preseason poll has Penn State, the preseason media poll has Penn State at number one, Ohio State at two, Oregon at three. Then it goes Michigan, Illinois, who returns, I believe, 16 starters, then Indiana. How deep should we go with somebody that can actually win this Big Ten? Because it very much feels like the top three is your pick'em, and everybody else is a long shot.
It'll be interesting to see what Michigan does this year. In year two under Sherrone Moore, with now Bryce Underwood at quarterback, you have a true freshman quarterback, and you can be as highly touted as you want. That's a really big task, especially with the schedule that Michigan's going to have to play in the Big Ten. The three-horse race, it probably is Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon. But I think that when you look at it, every team has got questions that they've got to answer. And
well, Michigan's schedule is interesting to me because they open with New Mexico, and then they're at Oklahoma.
Yep.
So that's a rough start, but they don't play Oregon.
Nope.
They don't play Penn State.
Nope.
They finish with Ohio State, but they go Central Michigan, Nebraska, who year two of Dylan Raiola, there's something
Nebraska
there.
Should be better this year, and if they're not, Matt Rhule has got some serious issues going on there.
Wisconsin is picked to finish near the bottom of
12.
The Big Ten, and they are coming after a bye week from Michigan at USC, Washington, Michigan State, Purdue, Northwestern, Maryland, then they finish with Ohio State. It's not the murderer's row that the Big Ten can be, and that's one of the problems with this conference being so big is it's starting to feel very SEC-ish, which these teams are really tough. And then you play Kentucky.
Well, and if you heard Kurt Cignetti, Indiana's coach, what he said today, he's like, he was asked about canceling their non-conference game with Virginia. He said, we just took a page out of the SEC playbook.
Yeah.
I mean, don't play hard games if you don't have to, right?
Yeah.
Just win the schedule that's in front of you.
Wait till they start putting their easiest non-conference game right before their rivalry, and then they are the SEC. And that's what the Pac-12 never really grasped was, let's keep playing a nine-game schedule because that's what we do.
Is their biggest rival Purdue, though?
Indiana, yeah.
I don't know if you need to do that.
Yeah, that's fair point. But still, it's either way, set it right before your Penn State game because Indiana does finish the season at Purdue, but November 8th, they're at Penn State.
Yep, and that would be it. One thing Cignetti said, though, which I agree with, is that he did say we took a page out of the SEC playbook, but he also called for uniform scheduling across college football because that's the biggest issue with the game itself right now is that you have these seats at the table, but they don't play anywhere close to a same schedule.
Well, I've volunteered this many a times. Pay me $300,000 and I will do the college football schedule. I will become the scheduling czar for all of college football and I will make it as fair as I possibly can.
I'll do that for a couple milli too.
Yeah.
I
don't even need a couple mil. I'll just do.
Don't undercut me like that.
Yeah,
don't Price is Right me with this $1.
I put my number out first. You have the opportunity to undercut me. You tripled the asking price. You pay me that nice little sound. Because here's the thing: when college football starts,
just get me into six figures,
and
I'll be cool.
Done scheduling. Well,
Son of a gun.
The funny thing was, for years, the NBA schedule, do you know how many people did the NBA schedule, how many people they brought in to make that thing work?
No.
One guy.
I know
there was
that.
All he did year-round was just figure out the arena schedule and go, well, when is Taylor Swift going to be there? Who has hockey? And when are monster trucks there? Here's the NBA schedule. And that's all he did. I can do that for college football.
So for 24 years, a husband and wife were responsible for Major League Baseball schedules.
Yes, please. Can I get that job?
Just a husband and wife who were like, all right. And then they came in, they got outbid for making the MLB schedule.
Yeah, well, I'm putting it out there. I would love to take a crack at the college football schedule. We'll put in weighted schedules where if you finish first place, you play first place schedule. You finish last place, you play last place schedule.
Bingo.
Let's go. Get rid of all these conferences, do the whole thing.
And then have cross-conference matchups. The SEC and Big Ten should have every year a challenge where you seed it out. Each conference goes, all right, whether it's your preseason poll, and you say, all right, we're going 1 through 18. We are going to go head-to-head. And our worst on worst, and then what we do is we flip a coin at the very beginning, and that is, determines where number one plays. If the SEC wins the coin toss, then one versus one is in SEC land, and then two is in Big Ten, three SEC, four, and you go back and forth. We just fixed scheduling in college football, and we play the same number of conference games.
You're welcome.
For God's sake.
All right. Next couple days, we'll have you in. We'll talk a lot more Big Ten. We'll hear what Dan Lanning says in the middle of the day tomorrow, and we'll comment on that. Woo. But we're going to let you go, and me and Russ are going to do our best efforts on the very first Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. We'll do it next.
Hey, I'm excited for this show, and this next hour is what this show is going to be all about moving forward. I'm excited for what you have prepared for the people because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we love the people, and hopefully we're ready to go. The Fan Happy Hour next on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network.